It's a couple of weeks ago, and I want to, before we hit that first slide, I want to bring you back to where we were really 3 weeks ago now, where we were talking about not settling. We're talking about this notion of this place that God was sending Abram's dad, Terah, to, and how he never made it to Canaan but settled in Haran. And I know that many of us walked away because it was easy to walk away, and actually that is one of the applications of such a verse as those that we read. It was easy to walk away just understanding that to be about me and my personal life and the context of the things that I want to see, be, do, and become in my life. I don't want to settle. I want to make sure that I get to where God is sending me. And a couple of weeks ago, I made sure to say that while all of that is absolutely applicable to the verse, and we can draw those applications from that text, that we need to understand that what I am ultimately talking about is what God has called us to do collectively. That he's called us to become disciple makers, that I am supposed to mature so I can go out and do in the life of others what somebody once did in my life, so that they too can know the joy that comes by being redeemed by the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And not only is that our collective mission, but we talk very deep, very briefly, and we'll get into it more as this sermon series continues, about how God has uniquely fit me. Put your name where me is. How God has uniquely created me. Put your name where me is. How God has designed me differently than he has designed anyone else in the world. How everything that I see about myself, God did that intentionally. And that there is something that God wants to do with this person who is both fearfully and wonderfully made. I am unique in my creation in God. So last week we said and began with this, we need to remember, remembering and following God's simple framework can ensure our success. We then said that even before the journey starts, the seed is there, that God has put some stuff in me that he expects and intends will come out of me. We then said that the journey begins with yes. It really doesn't matter what's in me until I yield myself to what God is trying to do. It's just going to remain dormant in my life. But as soon as I say yes to what God has in store for me, it's then that I begin the journey in earnest. And then we said everybody's journey is different. Why? Because I'm different. But the framework is the same. And we talked about these three things. We said it begins with me and the word be. Who am I uniquely made to be? How has God created me, and who has God created me to be? We then went to the word do, which is our uniqueness, and we talked about how me being unique and who I am, it shapes what the mission that God has for me and my life, how that is going to look, and it responds to the question, what am I created to do? And then the last thing we talked about was the fact that the last word is go, that we are a missional people, that our God is a sending God, but mission always requires a context. And it responds to the question, where am I to go? This week, I want to back up while at the same time going forward and set a ground for you why those questions and those three statements are so important. I need you to remember those three things, be, do, and go, because we will talk about those as we continue in this sermon series. This morning I want to talk to you in the title, if we got to have titles on sermons, the title is Land of the Lost, as we continue in this Made for More sermon series. I want to start by saying this. Christ came to restore what the thief has stolen, and calls us to live a renewed life and abundant life. Let's look at this verse, John chapter 10, verse number 10. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. This is Jesus speaking. And he says, I came that they may have life and have it, have what? Have that life that Christ is calling us to the full. We talked about the thief being our adversary. the devil. We talked about the Satan who accuses us and tries to make us not understand all that God has called us to be, all that God has placed in me, this exponential potential to reproduce after my kind, that God wants us to do that. That in each and every one of us, and here's something that I want to make sure we never miss again in our lives and time together as a church. Hear me, that's not just a pastoral call. It's not just the role of the woman or man who stands on a platform behind a desk on any given exalted day and preaches or proclaims the gospel to reproduce. It's not just a pastoral call that we would go out and be looking to do what God has called us all to do, and that being making disciples who make disciples, but that belongs to everybody. Somebody say amen. You are a disciple maker. Now watch this. It may be dormant, but God put it in there. You are a disciple maker. You are called by God to go and to reproduce. So the question comes to mind, then if God put all this potential in us, if God created me this way, and if we were to look back at Genesis chapter 1, it doesn't say in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, that God created pastors after his image and his likeness. That God created evangelists after his image and his likeness. It says God created man, meaning mankind. God created mankind after his image and after his likeness. That God created them male and female. He created them to look just like he does. What am I saying? God created each and every one of us to be his image bearers. Amen. The Imago Dei. We bear the image of God everywhere we go. And that's not just a pastoral call. But God placed in each and every one of us not only everything we need, but he also gave us the Missio Dei, the mission of God, that we would go and be the bearers of God's image wherever we go. That when I walk into a room, it's different because I'm there. And I ain't talking about in that, you know, that spooky Christian way where I just change atmospheres when I come in. You got to understand why. Because God put something in me that he has the expectation will come out of me. God gave me who I am right there. In the beginning, God said, "This is who you are." Look at the next verse. Verse 28. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply." See, sometimes we just don't know. We walk around wondering, who am I? Who was I created to be? Go back to the beginning. God said you were created to bear my image. What am I created to do? God, go back to the beginning. And God said, I created you to be fruitful. Where? Everywhere. Fill the earth. Wherever I send you, that's what I'm calling you to do. How did we get it messed up? Why is it that so many of us as believers in Jesus Christ are still scrambling to try to figure out who I'm created to be? What am I created to do? How or where am I created to go? Where am I supposed to do? Pastor, is it just about us having these Sundays every now and again where I get to invite everybody I know to church so that they can hear you, and perhaps the Holy Spirit on that Sunday will speak to somebody and they will become a disciple, and then I can just tell them to come back to Bible study and they can learn from you all the stuff they're supposed to know to be? No. No, God created mankind in his image. Somebody say, that's me. Those of you who didn't say it that time, say it this time, that's me. Right. And God told mankind, because I have created you to bear my image and then gave you the charge to be fruitful, hear me, you don't get to sit down and do nothing. Amen. With what I gave you. You don't get to amass all the blessings that I have given you and said, God, you have blessed me. Thank you very much. Remember what he said to Abram, and we read this a couple of weeks ago. He said, I bless you. So that you can be a blessing. In other words, I'm giving to you so that I can get through you to those that also need to have what it is that you have access to. You are going to be the conduit through whom I do all of those things. Conduit, funnel, not bucket. Too many bucket Christians, not enough funnel Christians. Right? And then the bucket Christians wonder why all of a sudden the flow stops. Well, only a fool keeps pouring water in a bucket when it gets full. But I serve the kind of God that if you're a funnel, I never stop pouring because you never stop giving. So our desire ought to be which kind of Christian? Right? Kick the bucket. Lord, that just came. That's just free, y'all. Y'all laugh. Come on. Come on. Encourage your, my birthday in a couple weeks. Come on. Encourage your pastor. Laugh. Amen. All right. I'm done. Put the Eagles thing back up, Bradon. No, I'm joking. So let's get into this. Chapter 3, verse number 1, the same book. Because the question we have to ask, remember, Jesus in John 10:10 says, the thief comes but for to steal, kill, and destroy, but I am come that they might have life, and it to the full, or it abundantly. How did it get messed up? Look at this. Now the serpent, somebody say, now the thief. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the tree of the fruit, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. She's already off track. But the serpent said to the woman, you will surely not die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Verse number 9. But the Lord God called to the man and said, where are you? And he said, he being the man, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. He said, he being God, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? The man said, shame on the man. Watch this. Right? It's the funniest thing in the world. I don't even know where he learned this, but this, we have not forgotten this one right here, right? You get in trouble, you immediately start looking for some place to deflect. The man said, so go back to that other one. Go back to verse 11. God is talking to me. Doris is here, but God is talking to me. Why? Because God told me what to do, right? It's like I told you and you told somebody else, and then when you get in trouble, watch, because I said, who told you you were naked? I'm talking to you. Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten, watch, have you eaten of the tree that I told you not to eat of? Go to the next verse. The man said, well, the woman whom you gave to me, she gave me fruit, and I ate. In other words, I was fine all by myself, God. I ain't ask you. It was me and you, and we was good. I ain't never had these problems before. But you decided in your infinite wisdom that it was not good for me to be alone. I ain't feel like I was alone anyway. I go take a nap, wake up, and she here. Right? And so you gave her to me. And then she decide that she gonna walk around and say this look good and bring it back. You know I don't even like fruit. And she gave it to me, and I ate. Look at this. Verse 13. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is it that you have done? The woman said, why? Because I learned from him. Hey, listen, right? I hate to be the last one in line. Because God talking to the man said, well, listen, she did it. He then looks at the woman and says, what have you done? And the woman said, he did it. The serpent deceived me, and I ate. The Lord God turns to the serpent, who ain't got nobody else to turn to. Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. To the woman he said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you. And to Adam he said, stop. Remember what we just dealt with. In a moment, we're going to deal with what happens because of all of this. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, God gives me my bee. I am created in his image and his likeness. I am the image bearer of God. That is who I am, created to look like him and represent him wherever I go. God gave me my due. I am to be fruitful and multiply. God gave me my go. Don't just do it here, but you are to do it everywhere I send you. And to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. From out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. The man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. I wish I had time to deal with all that just happened right there. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. Then the Lord, verse 22, said, behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Notice, only in knowing good and evil. Now, lest he reach out his hand and also take the fruit of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Here is the one last thing I'm going to say about this before I go. Let me show you how deceptive the thief is. Because what we believe the thief stole from us is not what he actually came to do. What does John 10:10 say? John 10:10 says, the thief comes but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But I am come that they might have life and it abundantly. We are always thinking about the devil taking our stuff. But what you read right there was God said, here's the deal. Now that their eyes are open, the one thing that they really should have wanted and had access to. Do you notice what God said? God said, there's one tree you can't eat the fruit of. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. in the middle of the garden. But also there is the tree of life. That if you eat of it, you live forever. And he ain't say you couldn't eat that one. But the enemy comes and makes you think you're missing out on something and some stuff. And by chasing after that, you miss out on the very thing that God came and offered you anyway. So they wind up losing eternal life for some knowledge of some stuff that, watch this, here's this thing about sin. As soon as you get what you thought you wanted, you regret having ever had it in the first place. Right? Isn't that what the verse said? They ate the fruit, immediately their eyes were open, and they said, oh Lord, I'm naked. Let me cover this. And I can't go back. The thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I am come that you might get back what you lost. If you focus on the stuff that's important and not the stuff that's unimportant. So let's deal with that. Because now we understand why we are where we are. Well, Pastor, I don't really understand. Good. Look back at verse number 27, chapter 1. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. The first thing we lost was our identity and relationship. See, remember, God created us in his image and in his likeness. He told us in the beginning who we are. He answered for us the question, who am I created to be? But then the enemy comes in and all of that gets jacked up and turned around. And now, rather than having this question, who am I created to be, answered for us, it becomes a question that we wrestle to try to find the answer to. Who am I created to be? We are created and recreated to bear the image of God. God gave that to us in the beginning, but we also lost it in the beginning. Remember what we're talking about this morning. Christ came to renew our life and give us back what the enemy stole from us. And I don't care how often we sing it, the enemy didn't come to steal stuff from us. How do you know? Because the very same enemy offered stuff to Christ. If thou be the Son of God, I'll give you all of this. Wait, so he ain't come to take stuff. In fact, stuff is one of his best tools. Because I'll give you stuff if you will give up your birthright. Look at verse number 8, chapter number 3. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Relationship is lost. Wait a minute. Is this the same man that used to walk with God daily? Now all of a sudden God shows up and you feel the need to hide yourself? Is it any wonder that many of us don't know who we are in God, and watch this, and are afraid to do the work that allows us to put ourselves, hear me, naked in his presence? So that the same God who created us and put that stuff in us will affirm in you, you are my beloved daughter, you are my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. There's nothing wrong with you that I can't fix. Our relationship has been lost, but Christ came to remind us all and to reaffirm that God, my Father, created you in his image and likeness, and though it may have been marred by sin, when you receive me in the pardoning of your sins, I have restored you back to just who you were before, and you can bear again the whole image and likeness of God. Look at verse 28, chapter number 2. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Second thing, we lost our purpose and mission. See, Christians believe that we are made to come and worship. We're not made to come and worship. We're made that our lives are worship. We're not made that every 168 hours we get together for two of those in a room like this, sitting in pews that make us all face forward. Watch this, anti-relationship. Because most of us only get to look at the back of somebody else's head or at the person who is next to us. And let me really say this. Most of us never look at the person next to us once we sit down unless they are somebody in our family. Right? It's not like y'all sit, as I look at the pews, it's like family pews, praise the Lord, right? But when you come in, it's not like the whole time you're sitting down, you're looking at the person next to you and say, yeah, no, that's good. I'm sorry for poking you. Yeah, that's good. No, we typically either every now and again look at the person next to us and say, do you have a mint? Right? Or our focus is here. So we have actually perpetuated the loss of relationship in the very way we do what we call worship on Sunday morning. So is it any wonder that when we worship in sometimes disjointed communication and relationship on Sunday, that we are stunted in the way we relate to one another once Sunday morning is over? And so then we start talking about, what am I supposed to do? We then make what we're supposed to do the end all and be all of what we're supposed to do is how good we do this thing right here. But this was never God's purpose for us. His purpose for us was given to us in the beginning. I want you to reproduce. And what we come to know as New Testament believers, what we come to understand is that's not just have babies naturally. That's not just have children naturally. Because whether or not God blesses us with the capacity naturally to do that, he's blessed each of us with the capacity spiritually. Amen. To reproduce after his kind. We are created. And why do I keep saying and recreated? Because he created us with that in Genesis 1. It got marred and messed up in Genesis 3. But the cross of Calvary and the shed blood of Jesus Christ our Lord gives us access to a recreation. Let me say it the way we all know it. Born again. Look at Genesis chapter 3, verse number 17. I just want to make the connections between who we were and where we lost it. And to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall. Now that is a stark contrast to Genesis 1:28. where, remember, he says, be fruitful and multiply, and it has not even rained yet. Where things are so abundant that all God is telling you to do is just let the land do what the land does and just watch what I am doing. Watch stuff grow and you tend and keep this place of natural wonder where I put you, because the way I have created things to be is that fruitfulness and multiplication happen and you don't even know how. And it turns into this. Is it any wonder that most of us haven't a clue what we're supposed to do? Because in our minds, we say, God, it ain't possible that it's supposed to be this hard. It's not possible that I do all this sowing and all this nurturing and all this weeding, and still, Lord, I see wheat and tares growing together. But Christ has come to restore to us access to what we lost by listening and believing the thief. So I understand that, yes, while there is sin in the world and we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we do live in a natural plane, and I understand all of those things, I still know who I am. And I know that my God still controls what happens supernaturally. Which means my mission and purpose are no longer lost to me. What's our collective purpose? I'm glad you asked. I am supposed to bear God's image wherever I go. And I am supposed to, as a bearer of his image, recreate or make others who know what I know live like I live and desire to do the same for others. And I'm going to take it to its lowest common denominator. I am called and given the purpose and mission to make disciples. My B is set. My do is set. Stop. But my name is Meredith Griffin. Is there anybody else in here named Meredith Griffin, born on February 20th, 1966 at 7:30 p.m. in Norfolk Community Hospital on Corprew Avenue in Norfolk, Virginia? No? So ain't nobody else in here just like me. Even though, is there anybody else in here who was created in the image and likeness of God? Anybody else in here who has a mission to go and make disciples? So all of us have those things in common, but even knowing who I am and knowing what I'm supposed to do, I got to do that just like it's going to happen in my life. Watch this. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. And God blessed them. And he said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. That is a sending verse. Our God is always a sending God. One of the great tragedies in the modern church is that we have changed a God who from the beginning has been a God who sends into a God who gathers. And so the mantra for us as modern day church folk has transformed from being what God said. Remember, God said, you are my image bearers. Now go and be fruitful and multiply. So we have changed what God said, which was go and be, into come and see. And so we tell everybody to come and see God. Come and be part of what God is doing in here, when God was always a sending God. Why? Because I told you who you are. I told you what you have to do, and I've given you the context in which you are supposed to do it. I need you to go where I'm sending you. So the last thing, and then I'm out your face. We lost our place and position. Where in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, God answers for us the question, where am I created to go? We now don't know what that looks like. And so the easiest thing for us to do as believers when we can't answer the question, where am I created to go, is let's just all get together. Right? After you read the Table of Nations in chapter 10, you see that they all begin to gather themselves together in that plain. And they say, you know what? We can do some good stuff when we all come together. In fact, let us do this. Let us build a tower. And let's see how high we can build this tower. And why does God come down and confound their language? It's not just because he says to them, listen, if they can do this, there's nothing that they can't do. It's also because that ain't what I told you. Lord, help me. I'm going to make this real contemporary. Forgive me when I say it. I ain't tell you get together and build something that 30,000 people can come and hear you preach in at one time. I told you go and be fruitful and multiply. I didn't tell you gather everybody you could from far, near, and wide so people got to drive an hour just to hear you. I ain't tell you the best thing in the world was to be on television or the radio and say you got a million people listening to you. Although that can be a good thing, I told you go. And since you want to do it contrary to the way I told you to do it, now don't nobody understand you. Now I bet you go now. You know what? I said I was going to ask you to forgive me. Don't forgive me. Oh, well, it is what it is. So we are created and recreated to go where God sends us in the world. But let me hit this so I can get to it. Look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 24. See, there's a reason why we wrestle the way we wrestle now. There's a reason why we need actually to be affirmed in who we are created to be and what we're created to do and where we're created to go. And it's because we lost it. Look at what that says. He drove out the man. He created this place and put man in this place. Man had both a place and a position. And here we find ourselves just a little while longer apart from that. And all of a sudden, where am I supposed to go, God? Can you imagine? You wake up one day and your mom and daddy done packed your bags and put them at the door. And as you're leaving, watch. He placed the cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. As you're leaving, the locksmith is showing up. Right? I can only imagine. I'd be like, as you're walking, real talk, I ain't even walking right away. I'm just standing there with my bag in my hand in disbelief. And the look on my face, I don't even know if I can get the words out, but does this look convey? But where I'm supposed to go? What? Just yesterday it was all good. I make one little mistake that's really your mistake, God, because I ain't need the woman you gave her to me. But I ain't gonna dwell on that because you God, so you got that. But where am I supposed to go? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Where am I supposed to go? God, what am I supposed to do with this? I hear the pastor preaching about our collective primary calling that we're supposed to make disciples, but what does that look like for me? Where am I supposed to go? What corner am I supposed to stand on? What track am I supposed to use? Where am I supposed to? This is what we're going to deal with for the balance of this sermon series. But I'm going to give you a hint. It ain't that deep. Where do you work? Where do you learn? Where do you live? Where do you play? So if you got a context where you learn, where you live, where you work, where you play, how can you ask the question, where are you supposed to go? God's already created you in such a manner that you have a place you like to go. You have a place you have to go. You have a place you want to go. And you're inhabiting those spheres in your life. You can't ask, where am I supposed to go? So the question then becomes, then in the way I am made, what does this look like? I can't wait till next week because I'm going to answer that question for you. How's that for a teaser? Let's look at this. These are the takeaways for this week. Broad theme. Christ came to restore what the thief has stolen and calls us to live a renewed and abundant life. One, why? We lost our identity and relationship. Two, we lost our purpose and mission. Three, we lost our place and position. So I'm going to do something different this week. I'm going to give you some things I think you ought to try to engage to take action. So I'm calling this Take Action This Week. Here's how you can take action this week. One, pick a day this week and fast from lunch. If you ain't going to say amen, just say A. Bro, that got quiet right there. Y'all must have some good lunch. I just said one day. I know somebody said, Pastor, we just ended a fast. Fasting is supposed to be a discipline that is built into our life, not an annual event. So pick a day this week and fast for lunch. I'll share with you that day for me will be Wednesday. Two, use that lunchtime to pray clarity for these questions. Who am I created to be? What am I created to do? Where am I created to go? So what I'm asking you to do this week is to take one day this week. It can be Monday through Friday. It can even be Saturday if you want it to be. And I want you to fast from lunch. Don't eat lunch. But this isn't just idle time. I want you to, when you don't eat lunch that day, I want you to spend that time praying. Prayer looks a whole lot of different ways. Prayer literally can be silent time of reflection and meditation, because prayer is dialogue. Let me jump in here real quick and jump back out. Prayer is dialogue, not monologue. And so we have been trained in the Western church to believe that when we talk about a time of prayer, it means that I begin to talk to God. And when I'm done talking to God, I say, amen, get up and move. Prayer is dialogue. So it's as much listening for and to God as it is speaking to God. And so if your time of prayer this week is just reflective meditation, you begin by playing some music and listening and reading scripture and then asking God, God, affirm in me, who am I created to be? We just told you what that looks like. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. God, what am I created to do? Now, this is where it begins to get both general and specific. Because generally, we know we are created to be fruitful and multiply. But what does that look like for me? We'll begin to talk about that in the weeks that come, because that is a meshing of three different places in your life trying to figure out this one thing right here, what that going and making disciples looks like in the life of this unique person. And who or where am I created to go? What I'm going to do on Wednesday at 12:30, I will be on for 15 minutes on the prayer call line, and I'll pray for 15 minutes with whoever's on the call at that time, Wednesday at 12:30, from 12:30 to 12:45, and we'll be praying around those three things this Wednesday. All right? Let's stand on our feet.